Hey, everybody, this is John. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we were not able to record a new episode for this week. However, to appease the masses, we have submerged ourselves in the archive, because as you know, there's a river running through the archive, and floated way, way, way back to the furthest recesses of our digital library and come up with an outtake for you. This is from the original recording of episode number 3, way back in December of 2011, talking about Star Trek. There was a whole segment that did not get used in the original cut of the show, and that talks about Star Trek conventions. And we've been saving this, waiting for the opportune moment to use it, and that moment is now. So enjoy the very raw audio of myself, Drew, and friend of the show and our resident Trekspert, Brett, as we take you on a virtual trip into the absurd underbelly of the Star Trek convention phenomenon. I'm John.
I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Look, the fans wanted to convene together.
Well, somebody wanted to make money off of the fans while they convened. Let's be honest with you. Let's get down to brass.
Somebody wanted to make money off the fans convening, and the fans were very happy to convene.
Well, they always are. I mean, Creation's been doing this for years. They're the one of the first. They didn't put on the first one, but they picked up pretty soon after that.
Creation
Entertainment, the people that put on all the cons, basically all the official sanctioned cons. They also do the Supernatural cons.
They do a lot.
They do the Twilight con. Yeah.
They do
Vampire Diaries.
Whatever that is.
It's the show.
Is it a show?
I believe so.
I think it's like a Twilight series, TV series.
I think it's like Twilight meets Half True Blood or something. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they
Supernatural.
They do conventions. They've done conventions since the first series, right?
When was the first convention?
In 72 was the, I believe, was the year that they had the first one. It was in New York, in the shitty old hotel they were telling us about.
New York.
It's not from New York, New York.
But to point out, New York
is not a direction, but our destination, but a direction.
The conventions are Brett and I have been to.
This wasn't our first con.
No, we went to several local conventions here in St. Louis back when the shows were still running.
Yeah.
And
95, 96, 97, around that
Well,
area.
It was around First Contact, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, we went and saw First Contact after one of the conventions.
Right.
But it had just come out.
Oh, wow.
We also saw Mr. Bean and
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers after another one.
In one
sitting, yes.
Like, we saw Bean, and then we saw Starship Troopers.
After the convention, yeah.
So you went to the convention for the day, and then you went to...
Well...
Not for the day.
One of our dads, I can't remember which... One of our dads dropped us off at the convention, and then picked us up and took us to the movies.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
Now, was that the pair?
Yeah, that would have been DePere.
It was Des Perez.
So the ones here were small affairs.
Yeah,
you saw one room.
One guest. Yeah, I mean, all the merch was in the same room. It was basically on the back wall.
Yeah. And in those days, we were graced by the likes of George Takei.
Yes.
Say something
James
that he
Doing.
Would say. Say George.
So that's all I got.
I don't think so.
I'm very happy to be in St. Louis.
George Takei,
James Doohan,
Robert Duncan McNeil.
Yes,
who's Robert
and we
Duncan
can never,
McNeil?
My favorite character from Star Trek Voyager,
which you did
Tom
point
Paris,
out to him,
which I told him
you were my mom and I's favorite character.
You're my mom and I's favorite character.
And it's,
thank you.
He's like,
thank you. And then he slit your throat.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we went to four of them, but we can only remember three of the guests.
Takei, Dewin, McNeil.
Yeah, those are the only. I'm pretty sure there was four of them.
Was there four?
I don't think there was. I don't know. Whatever.
There, at every single one, there were two people that we saw at every single one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man who had a really good Klingon.
He had a great Klingon makeup and costume. And like, he professional.
It looked
great.
This
is a guest, another guest.
Attendee.
An attendee.
Man.
Right. Not a...
He looked bitching, too.
He was good. And people loved him.
Yeah.
They loved him, and he ate it up.
It absolutely freaking blew our minds, though, because...
He was a very, very white man.
Yeah, extremely
with very
white.
Red hair.
Yeah. Under, like, I mean, you would not, like, I would have been like, yeah, oh, that's black guy, basically.
Black man with Klingon head.
Can I use racial epithets in this show? Is that
black
cool?
Black man with a Klingon head.
Yeah, no. But it was just, it blew our minds, because I was like,
I forget how he discovered it, too.
He took his head off at one of the points. It was at
literally
the,
took
the
his
whole
head off.
Like, he just went like this, like...
Yeah. The other guy that we saw, and it, each one was a man in a blue tunic.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to have no neck.
Well, they, a lot of those guys do.
He was sort of buried, like, his head was sort of buried in his shoulders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that he was, like, he was overweight.
Like somebody taking a big clown mallet and hit his head down
his
shoulders.
It wasn't, he was overweight, but it wasn't because he was overweight that he had no neck.
He just had no neck.
But you put it really well there.
Tony No Neck.
Yeah. And he seems like an awkward fellow, but also, you know, seemed like a nice guy, but he was at every single one. When we went and saw First Contact, after one of the conventions, he was
Tony
there.
No Neck was there
in costume.
Yeah,
oh,
he was there. I remember that.
What was it? Oh, his blue.
Blue.
That gotcha.
So the ones that we
there's
went
always
to,
strong personalities when you go to cons, like especially Trek cons. You always at least there's one or two people that like I'm not ever gonna forget that motherfucker's face.
when we saw George Takei and they did a Q&A for him,
mm-hmm.
there was one guy who he was way in the back. And he asked the question in total sincerity. There was no hint of,
yeah, no, he was
of irony or humor in his voice. He asked George Takei, do you think that Gene Roddenberry could see the future and that he was just writing what is going to happen?
He was
and George Takei
it.
Was like, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
And then he went to immediately to the next
another
question.
Yeah.
There was no repeat. It was a clear, like, right. I didn't hear that. Like, yeah,
over
no.
here.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice.
So, that was over, 10 years ago?
Oh, God. I mean, mid-90s. Yeah.
So, flash forward, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville, Tennessee. The biggest one that we've been to, especially in terms of guests.
Oh, yeah. We've never been to one. I mean, there's only ever been one person.
Only ever been one. Mm-hmm. This had 8? 9?
I kind of want to think. I mean, yeah, around there. I mean, Von Armstrong, Jeffrey Combs, yeah, Shatner,
so,
yeah.
You increased the guest count by like 900%.
Well, the creation, they always try to do, this one outside of like, there's one in New Jersey, which is pretty, you know, rinky-dinky. They've got like a mostly side characters. The one in Chicago has got a lot of people. It's
got a lot of the main.
It's got Nimoy. It's got it's
Jonathan
got Frakes. It's got
Brent Spiner.
Bunch of next.
And these are like regular things, like annual
Nana visitor.
Yeah, and Renee
Abajon.
But yeah, they do them regularly, and this company is basically that's what they do. They started off doing like comic book shows, is what he was the founder had said, and they do it.
Founders.
I've been to some creation conventions. They did like horror conventions.
Yeah, they do.
The
they do horror conventions. Yeah, they do a bunch of them.
For dorks.
Yeah.
Unless these conventions.
That's what it says. Horror convention. The creation entertainment horror convention for dorks.
Technically, any convention is for dorks if it's not for work. If you're not being paid to be there, then you're a dork.
There's another convention, the creation entertainment horror convention for bros.
Just bra.
Bros.
What's up, bro? Man, I love
Bra.
This is the best movie ever, bro. Nah, bro.
Chucky 2,
what's up, guys? The remake.
Nah, man, original.
Remake. House of 1,000 Corpses, bro. Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie, man.
Oh, man.
A God Among Men, Rob Zombie, dude.
Dude.
Ah.
Spontaneous bra, dude.
Yeah. So the one that we went, and this was also the first multi-day convention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were there from, we got there Thursday night. We didn't leave till Sunday night.
Sunday night.
And the convention started on
programming
Friday.
On
Friday.
Friday, yeah. We got there
Saturday and Sunday, right.
Did some cool stuff. So, you know, there's the vendor's room.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was more of a vendor's area.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Like they had like
it was
a
vendor's
murals.
Garage.
Yeah. It was right outside like the actual showroom. They had like a little knockout reception.
Normal
area.
People could walk by this and see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was actually in the outside.
It was the face of
they
the convention.
They could sort of boggle at it. Like, what?
There were
happening?
Thousands. Like, seriously, this
they
is...
They could play a board game, man.
The place we stayed at, the Gaylord Opryland, is the biggest hotel outside of Vegas in North America.
Wow.
So, like, we seriously got lost for half an hour trying to find our room. That's no exaggeration. Like,
we tried three rooms that
three
weren't
different rooms
ours.
That weren't our rooms. Like, this... How does this not work? And, I mean, it said Garden Conservatory on our key, and we kept, like...
That was the name of our section.
Oh, and you were not in that section.
But here's the key. No. I mean, that. Here's the thing.
Not the actual key.
So there's, we were room 4078.
4078.
Okay.
G4078.
There are other 4078s. There's a C4078. Mm-hmm. There's a D40. Just like the Enterprises.
Oh, man, yeah. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
And we tried every 4078 that wasn't ours before we finally got to ours.
And every day out of our hotel, I'd say up until about Saturday,
yeah.
We pretty much got... Turned around and had to walk about twice
we
as long as we
out.
Needed to.
We got our routes down eventually.
Yeah, we got our routes down. About the last day, we figured it out pretty hardcore.
But you had the vendor's room, and you had, you know, much like any convention, they weren't just selling Star Trek stuff. It was a lot of genre stuff.
Yeah. It was mostly Star Trek stuff. I'd say there was one table that was mostly not Star Trek stuff, though.
The one that was the autograph one on the backside? Yep.
They had mostly, I mean, they like...
Yep.
Whole row like
there was
SG-1 audiobooks.
There was
like
a NASA table, like a space travel.
That was
table.
The Tennessee, like the Mid Tennessee Space Enthusiast Association or some shit. It just
man.
Had models set up, like they had a model of DS9.
I don't think they were they selling anything?
No, they weren't selling
shit.
They were just talking up
the Mid Tennessee Space Enthusiasts.
They were just informing.
Seriously, they were just space enthusiasts.
I want to join.
They had cool models.
It was really cool.
The space enthusiasts usually do have cool models.
Barnes and Noble had a table.
They did have a table.
Barnes and Noble?
I didn't see anybody buy anything off the table.
Nobody bought anything.
Because, I mean, it was just list price books.
Right,
like,
it was just stuff you could buy
and
at
DVDs.
Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, DVDs,
they were,
CDs.
The weird thing is they had all these DVD sets.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they had in the front of, like, at the front of their table, none of these DVD sets were the Star Trek
no.
sets.
Yeah.
They had them all in the back of the table
right.
that were hard to get to. It was really odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking was on that.
So they had the vendor's room, and then they had the theater, and this is where a lot of the little events take place.
That's where pretty much most of everything that wasn't a signing or a picture or a breakfast or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so some of the events that took place that we did not attend because it costs money. Mm-hmm. You had breakfast.
Breakfast with the mighty Klingons.
Yeah. There were two breakfasts. There was breakfast with the Dursa sisters.
Lursan Bator, yeah.
The Dursa sisters.
Duras.
Duras sisters.
Come on, guy.
Sorry. I just rearranged some letters.
Yeah, and
the
then
Duras,
I think one of the coolest
sisters.
Ones,
sisters.
Also one of the funniest, sisters. Well, funniest because it was horrible for the guy that was happening to.
Talk about this.
Was they had a makeup presentation by...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the guy with the
a
shorts.
A makeout presentation?
Let's go there first. So the first.
I don't even want to talk about the shorts.
The first guest speakers were the Duras sisters in
Lursa and
Bator makeup, and you know they come out and they play it up. They are their characters.
Yeah, they were basically trying to be Lursa and Bator.
You know, okay, so they started taking questions, and one guy had a question and walked up and. Like, literally came up to the stage so they could hear her.
One of the most frustrating fucking things for the entire weekend was for me, they had two microphones set up at either end of the stage, and not a motherfucker walked up to them.
No one would walk up to
them. They would just stand, like, raise their hands, like, and, like...
It wasn't until Shatner.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Shatner, it was... Somebody else said something. It was Casey Biggs said something, too.
Yeah, Casey Biggs
like,
got him up there.
He's like, really, can
he's
we get
like,
people to come up to the
he's
thing?
This.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, because... People were just like yelling.
Yeah,
like,
it was
I can't, you know, I mean, you're standing out in the middle of an audience. I was up on the stage, and like with the lights on, you can't see shit.
Yeah.
Like, you really can see like bits and pieces of the audience, but like, I mean, it was frustrating.
So
like.
so this guy goes up there, and it's not this guy yet.
Yeah,
this is a different guy. So he's got a hat on, and they're like, "Are you bald under that hat?" And they, like, lift his hat off, and he's not. And they act all disappointed because of they like Picard.
They made in the episode where they brought Picard, where he was, you know, Worf's Rite of Ascension guy. What, and it wasn't a Rite of Ascension. It was the... Whatever. Yeah, they made a big deal about Picard's head.
Yeah, being bald and stuff. So they're playing that up at this.
Playing up to the bald.
Eventually, at one point, during their little Q&A, they're like, is there anyone who's bald in the audience? And they're like, look, they bring the lights up and they're looking, they spot one guy. And they're like, you there, come up here, come up. And like, they came, it was actually really hard to get up on the stage. You had to go back behind these curtains.
It was more confusing than hard.
So they came out and got him, brought him up. Now this man was a rotund man. Nothing wrong with that.
Wow.
Except for his choice of attire. He had shorts on that had the cut of the shorts, first of all, they were short.
They were like sweatpants shorts.
First of all.
Like, they were made out of, like, sweatpant material, if I remember.
I don't think they were
like,
that they were thick.
Like terry, like something like thin, like t-shirt material.
The cut of them, so imagine you take a pair of regular shorts, and you start on the outside, on either side, the outside of the bottom of the leg.
I would say it was the Magnum PI cut.
And you cut diagonally up toward the crotch.
Uh-huh.
So it had this really weird cut to it.
It wasn't even the cut. It was because it was his sitting.
When he walked up to the stage, it had gotten caught. One of the pant legs, short legs, whatever, got caught essentially under his crotch.
Yeah.
Like, you had to... It had to be that his...
I'm imagining it was the moisture and all the
it was weird.
It's panty creep. It's panty creep. Everybody gets panty creep.
So they bring him up there.
But this was panty creep on a visible scale. Outside. Yes.
And his legs... they brought him up there, and they make him get on his knees.
I just love that conversation. And his legs... That was just...
They make him get on his knees, and they start caressing his head.
It was...
This dude, I mean, he must have been, like... just aroused to a degree that
it's two women fawning. For one, and it's two Klingons for another. Any Star Trek nerd worth his salt gonna
and
have
they're
a serious
caressing
job.
His bald head.
Yes.
Then one of them lifts his shirt sleeve up to expose his very hairy arm, but sort of patchy hairy, and then literally bites his arm.
Yeah.
And
they continued this behavior because that wasn't the only guy they did it to. Because Lursa went out in the audience randomly biting people's arms.
Do you think they earn more for that? Bite him. Bite him some more.
What really disturbs me about the arm biting is not only did she make contact with the skin with her mouth, she made contact with the skin that was under the sleeve.
Right. And the thing is, this guy. The reason why the shorts were riding so much, I think, was because perspiration and nerves,
Sure.
Probably his arm was a little sweaty and nasty, too. And it's just like, professional actor? Really? I would not do
it
that.
It was incredible.
I mean, hey, it's dedication to a role, I give her that, but that's something I wouldn't have fucking done.
Yeah, they went all the way.
I wouldn't even touch those guys, like most of them, but... Yeah, you know, it was really surprised. Like, I only caught Gamer Stink, like, once.
Huh.
Like, really bad once.
Yeah, I tried to steer clear of most people.
And I mean, I did spend a lot of time at the tables, and I only caught it once. And, like, it was at the book booth, and I was just kind of sitting there looking around.
Yeah.
And, like, this guy just walked up and, like, was standing there for a second, and I was like, oh, like, I immediately had to leave. Like, it was, I mean, and I've been to Gen Con. I know my Gamer Stinks, and it was a serious Gamer Stink.
I somehow avoided being talked to by any...
And nobody talked to us. Like, everybody left us alone, basically.
Well, and which is really weird, because when you get in a situation like this, the socially inept nerd is prevalent.
Sure.
And so you almost...
Sure.
Remember the one in the line for Shatner?
I was
going to
bring that up.
Yeah.
So we're in line to meet William Shatner, and there's a guy behind us who's like a normal dude.
Yeah, just,
he's just like some...
He was talking to us. He was, you know, just like,
And not... He wasn't talking to us like... interrupting our
conversation.
Hey, blah, 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 blah. We're like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, whatever.
So then we kind of stopped talking, and the guy behind him is an awesome representative for the nerd sort of contingent.
Yeah,
he had a rubber...
His hair.
Spock hair cap.
It was a rubber cap.
With the ears attached.
The ears were attached.
He had an awesome scraggly beard.
Mm-hmm, really good scraggly beard. Nice square glasses.
He was hunched.
He was hunched.
He had a very baggy Spock
Yeah, it was, I think, one of the ones you get from, like, that you could order from, like, Cheez-Its for sending in a bunch of box tops, because I almost did that.
And he had very, very baggy pants.
Yeah.
And he was,
he was, you know, and I almost shy away from, like, I'm not trying to make fun of the guy.
Do you think he was mentally handicapped?
That's what I was just thinking.
I think he might have been.
So I'm like, I'm not trying to make fun of the guy, but, like,
some form of autism or...
It was something. Like, he just seemed immediately like glommed onto this guy that he had never fucking met before, and they were best buddies.
He walked up to this guy and he immediately started talking about Star Trek.
Yeah.
And he started talking about his own shirt, the tunic, and he's like, "Man, yeah, you know, I was surprised these are really accurate shirts,
like really high quality."
He's like, "It's just like in the movie," and this guy, you know, you got to give props to the guy because he was totally nice to this dude. Mm-hmm. I was going to call him kid. He wasn't a kid.
Yeah, he wasn't a kid.
But he was totally nice to him. Continued the conversation. Never once did I notice
initiative.
Him.
Like,
I never noticed him actually trying to get away from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty awesome.
It was pretty nurturing. And that's I think that's really typical of the Star Trek fans because, I mean, a lot of the times...
Open.
Yeah, I mean, it's really open because, I mean, you don't want to, like... Like, if somebody comes up and starts talking to you, I mean, even me, like, I mean, I know this kid loves fucking Star Trek.
Yeah.
I don't want to make him feel bad because, like, I know how he feels.
We've
like,
all been there, yeah.
Right. Plus it's not only that, how often do you get to talk about Star Trek with somebody else? And so this is the prime sort of scenario where you can do that. And he's someone who loves Star Trek.
Yeah, I thought it was the coolest thing.
Also,
I mean, nobody there, like, I didn't see anybody getting anywhere near to, like, an argument,
no,
fight, or anything.
People
like,
were totally...
Always the coolest.
Well, there was one moment, I don't know if you were there, I think you were, it was during the, okay, so at one point they had a collectibles presentation, this guy who was...
yeah.
He looked, John, I think I told you this before, he very much... I could see you being this guy.
Yeah,
right.
He's like a collectible.
You would
nerd,
never,
okay,
you would
yeah.
never assume like this guy was a nerd.
No, he looked like a normal dude.
Really
normally,
normal.
Yeah. No.
Unlike you, I mean, he looked like a normal guy.
So until he starts talking about collectibles,
yeah,
and then
it's
wow.
just like,
so he
practically like the drool starts.
Yeah.
He's giving a presentation on the collectibles from the '60s on, and we're in the theater, and the way the theater is set up is you have the stage in the center. On either side of the stage, you have these very large screens where, during the Q&As, there's a camera trained on the person, the celebrity.
Or, like, just a headshot with their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, during other... They'll show videos and stuff on here.
They did a bunch of music videos, which we'll get into later.
Yeah. And also, these screens were set against these curtains, and that's how... If you went through these curtains, you could get up onto stage.
Right. The curtains were, like, basically, they had the stage, and then on either side, they'd have, like... I would say they were almost 30 by 20... And, I mean, they were pretty good size.
Yeah.
I mean, the screens were,
big.
The size of, like, I mean, this opening right here.
Yeah.
So, and, I mean,
that
basically
no one
could just
see.
Curtain behind. Yeah, it was just nobody could see behind. And,
this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
This opening.
So, the guy is standing, and he's not up on stage because he has to be able to see.
He was
kind of,
like, kneeling, sitting next to his table kind of thing.
He was at a table next to the one of the screens, like, on the right.
Yeah.
And if you're facing the stage, he's on the right.
Right.
And so the audience fills the theater. Not fills it, but like across the whole thing.
Right.
From the left to the right. And he's giving his presentation.
Part of his presentation was he was asking trivia questions. And the first person that he would see to get the trivia question right, he would give him a prize.
Right.
Right.
So
there was
highly contentious.
And pretty easy trivia questions.
Super easy.
For the most part. Like,
who was the first, like, who made, like, name one of the makers of the line of a Star Trek toy.
And it
so
would be
Galoon,
on the screen.
Remades. Like, it's right there, so.
Yeah, who made the Star Trek cards? And, like, the only name that anyone would think of was Tops.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
It.
Fleer, whatever.
Yeah.
Fleer.
Mm-hmm.
They did do Fleer.
Donruss.
Upper Deck.
What are you? Wow. You guys are blowing my mind. So he's given his presentation. Unfortunately, it was plagued with technical difficulties.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was a good presentation.
I was kind of bummed that it kind of fell apart.
They shit it out at the best point. It was right at the 90s, like when all the stuff that we wanted to see was
so,
basically going up.
As he's given the presentation and he's asking these trivia questions, he's continually choosing people directly in front of him that he can see. So remember, he's on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole center and left side.
Yeah, there's three sections of chairs
that he is effectively ignoring. You know, not on purpose.
No,
but he's
just
not realizing he's not playing to the whole crowd.
Right.
And eventually, this woman, probably in her late 50s,
I'd say easily.
She just screams out,
There's a whole other side of this theater, you know.
And he was really apologetic about it too.
He got really flustered.
Super bad. You could tell he was like, super embarrassed.
He's like, I know. Okay, you get the next question.
Like from there on out, he was basically
and then he was not even looking at the other side.
Yeah. Fair enough. But the great thing is he to that woman, he's like, you get the next question. Who's the captain of the Enterprise?
Yeah. He's like,
and she's like, Kirk.
And she was mad about it. Like,
she was mad that she got a prize.
Yeah, she was mad. She was bitching that she didn't get a prize, but when she got her prize,
and then the poor guy from that. So he's already flustered from his presentation going, you know, working badly, and now this woman has, you know, and to be fair, that he was not paying any attention.
Oh, he wasn't.
But she could have been a bit nicer about it.
You're like, hey, we're all people here,
and so
give me your free ship. Like, that's essentially what I need to preach. I mean, it was just anger over not getting free.
So he ended, he sort of ended it because his presentation was no longer working. He's like, okay, well, I've got some grab bags. So first 50 people to come up here, and like people just jumped out of their seats.
I was one of them.
Yeah, and totally like enveloped this guy. He's like, here you go. It was pretty great. So that was the only other case of like seeing anger.
Yeah, that was the only even close to like public anger. Like,
yeah,
I thought one of the coolest things was like, okay, so we got there Thursday night, and like we rolled up to this place and we saw all these thousands of people, and like initially like we had these thoughts going through our mind like, are all these people here for the Star Trek convention? Like, and then we got in there and we talked to my cousin. He was actually one of the managers, and he was like, well, they only had about 400 or 500 people booked, so. And whatever. And so, like, maybe Thursday, Friday, we didn't see basically anybody. I mean, we barely saw any Star
Friday
Trek people.
Was the least amount of people.
Like, it was seriously identifiable Star Trek people.
Yeah, right. Like, you could spot them.
Yeah. I mean, but by Thursday, or by Friday, Saturday night. Saturday night, like, everywhere. The entire place, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing Trek people. Like, it was very cool. Phenomenal.
I was going to say, we also, we another occurrence.
Dubbed some royalty.
What?
Are you going to talk about the royalty?
The king?
The king and the prince?
So, who is the prince?
It was the blind guy.
Yeah, the blind guy. So we'll talk about the king and the prince of the con. We dubbed them as such.
Yes, it was our own. We always do.
We'll go with the king and the con first. So the king of the con was a man we noticed on day one, Friday.
Yeah.
And he was a extremely obese man.
He was in a rascal, and he was pouring out over the sides of his armrests.
Yeah, and he would zip around this place like he owned it. We began to imagine him just bowling through things.
Ramming through vendor's tables. I need that comic book! Because he would come in, like, while there was, like a speaker or somebody up on stage. Like, he would just zoom right up to the front, like, and just stop, like. And, like, he would be right there. And then, like, as soon as he was done, he would just turn around, like, and, like, he was gone.
He was the first one in,
He was always, like, and he wanted to be there first, but then he also wanted to be the first one out.
Oh, my God, he was, yeah.
I don't know.
So here's the thing. We're in line for Shatner.
Yeah, and he was behind us, probably 20 people behind us.
And we noted, wow, we're in front of the king of the con.
Yeah, we're like, hey, we got to beat the king of the con down here.
But we figured this isn't going to last. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I want to couch this in, I do not want to sound like we're making fun of anyone who is handicapped.
I do. Because I am. Let's get that out there.
It did not seem that he was handicapped.
Yeah,
it
just from a visual point of view.
Morbidly obese.
He was a fat.
That's what it seemed like. And so,
to our eyes, it kind of looked like, okay, so we were in line for Shatner, and he's back there, and we're like, okay, how long is this going to last? Mm-hmm. So about 5 seconds after we freaking say that, like, he's like,
well, what happened was a handicapped man on a scooter showed up, and there was a separate line for those who are handicapped to sort of go first. And, you know, fair enough. These people are dealing with, you know.
These people were actually handicapped as opposed to just letting their body go to
shit. Delta crummy life, whatever.
Right.
Or crummy hand. I don't know. Maybe they have great lives. I don't know.
Maybe they're all Nazis.
Yeah. Hey, maybe they're jerks.
Whatever.
But then this guy, he's in line. He's in the normal line.
Mm-hmm.
He zips on over to the handicapped line. And I'm just like, you know what? I think you're just fat.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't get a privilege.
You're being rewarded for being a fat nerd.
There are tons of fat nerds in this line.
There were guys that were fatter than him in that line that were standing on their own.
That were doing, you know, waiting their proper turn.
Thing, you know.
And so the king of the con got his due.
He did.
Now, the, certainly. Oh, did. And the Prince of the Khan.
The Prince of the Khan.
This man, did he go to that line?
Yeah, he wasn't. No, he wasn't in the line. He stayed in the normal line.
Yeah. Okay, so the Prince of the Khan, who we
I loved this guy.
The Prince of the Khan.
He was fucking awesome.
He was also there from the first day.
Yeah, he was there. He had good questions.
He was first of all, he's a blind man, and he asked a question of every
presenter, and it wasn't like a stupid. I mean, it seemed like he'd actually thought out, you know, to a reasonable degree, as was like. You know, yeah, like, was there was a lot of that kind of stuff.
And his great moment was when, on Saturday, there was a demo of makeup.
Yeah, they did a makeup demo. I think it was, no, it was Friday. It was Friday.
Because he had it the whole weekend.
Yeah, he did have it the whole weekend on.
Friday, so they did a demo of, no, it was Saturday. It was Saturday. It was Saturday.
Saturday.
It was Saturday.
I don't know, man.
It was.
I don't know why we didn't bring the goddamn convention bill.
It was Saturday.
Because we had all the stuff written out on a piece of paper.
It was because...
Pretty sure it was Friday.
So anyway, this guy, this makeup artist, did a little demo on how to do Klingon makeup.
He wasn't like, I don't think, from the impression that we got, he was an actual, like, on the series makeup artist. He may have done, have done, because he did talk about some movies and other stuff.
Yeah, we think he did makeup. I think he was a professional, but I don't think he ever worked on an
on
actual
Star Trek.
Because he never came out and said it, and why would you not come out and say that if you're
right,
a Star
right.
Trek?
Right, that was my work.
What it seemed
danced around it a lot.
And what it did seem that he did is he did the makeup for all the conventions. All
right, and he had said that this guy was probably also near, at least, probably mid late 40s or early 50s.
Yeah.
And he said he'd only been doing it for, like, the last 10
years.
So, like, you know, it's not something that he'd been doing forever. So, whatever. But I think he did a really good job. Like,
so,
good presentation. He was up there on stage. And, of course, the prince.
He pre-chosen the prince.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Who
was, again, a blind man. Which was really interesting to me. Like, just, could we talk for a second about, you know, this blind man?
Yeah, we discussed this at the con, like...
He wouldn't ever, you know, and maybe
he appreciate...
This might be insensitive, but yeah, he would never see the makeup applied to him. He's never seen a Klingon.
Well, you don't know, he may not have always been
blind, he may not have been...
I thought he said he was
blind. Yeah, that's right, he did say he was born blind.
I think he
blind.
Said he was born blind.
Yeah,
we'll get to how we found that out. So it was just really interesting to you know, and I'm not saying at all that he didn't get as much out of it as any of us would.
No.
But it was just like kind of a interesting thing to think about. Like it's all tactile for him, I gotta imagine.
All tactile and
And you know what
auditory.
Though he got a great response from the crowd, so I'm sure that was pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, and I mean he talked a lot about how like, and we talked about, you know, how could you have, you know, you wondered if the guy could have as much enjoyment, like, you know, and I'm not trying to like.
Yeah.
Quantify or qualify somebody's enjoyment of something, but like you wonder what their enjoyment is as a composed, you know, when you have nothing but sight or nothing but sound and touch, you know,
well,
how can you really
end,
appreciate something that's such a visual show, like,
right?
Well, and in the end, you just maybe just chalk it up like Star Trek is that good,
And he talked about the body of books, like that guy loved the audio
books.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he was up there, they put him in a chair, and the makeup guy starts giving his spiel.
I don't think their makeup guy. Yeah, I don't think he really like. He didn't think about the fact that the guy was
blind.
he's going on and he's like he's doing all the touch ups. He's doing the cleaning. He's like, okay, I've got this like 99% pure alcohol, like the most purest alcohol.
Yeah, it'll clean everything off your face.
Anything off your face. And he just starts. He goes. He puts his brush in there.
Right
just goes,
in his
eye. Jams right into his eye. Like doesn't say like, hey, eyes closed or anything. Like just
the guy visibly like whoa.
And he was like
he like jumped back.
And, like, for the next 20, like, the rest of the show, like...
Yeah, he was sort of going at his
trying
eyes.
To get the alcohol out of his
eye. Because, I mean, he had, like, 99% fucking pure alcohol in his eye.
Right.
And he had no warning.
No. Like, any professional actor would have been sitting in that chair and been like, oh, hey, close your eyes. You know, you'd have seen the brush coming. This
guy
couldn't
this
see
guy couldn't
see. He's got a fucking brush full of alcohol shit.
So, by the end of it, he has now a Klingon head.
Yeah.
Forehead. Looked good.
It looked really, really good. Like, the blending looked... I mean, I saw it up close. Looked phenomenal.
He must have slept in it.
Yeah, he had
because he had it on the next day.
He had it on, dude. I want to say that he had it on Saturday and Sunday, because I think I want to say
from the
Friday.
Point that he got it on,
he
did
never
not
took
remove
it,
off.
It. Yeah, yeah.
So he asked a bunch of great questions, and on the day of Shatner, he got up there, and he was like
in his Klingon,
in his Klingon thing, and Shatner
had a wig
was,
too, a full wig and everything. Mm.
Shatner was enamored, like. Because the dude said...
He's all like, I love you.
He was, the blind guy was like, you know, I love I forget. He just sort of gushed over Shatner.
Yeah, he did gush over him.
But he asked some good questions, and Shatner was like, he's like, he said something like, you know, you're so brave to you know, and courageous to be living your life the way you are, and you know, I am really in awe of you as a person.
Yeah,
the things you've overcome, I could never understand. And he's like, and Shatner's got a new show that he's doing, a reality show called Fan Addicts.
Yeah, Fan Addicts.
And it's going to be a series of like documentaries on different conventions. The first one being a Star Trek convention.
Yeah, he's going to do the official Las Vegas convention, which is coming up really shortly.
And he was like, you know, I'd love to talk to you for the show, you know, and stuff like. And it was just pretty. It was a really nice moment.
You know, and that kind of speaking to that, it changed my. Kind of going into the show, I had this preconception of Shatner.
So did I.
Because, I mean, right, you hear about it, that based he's on this big dick, that he hates everybody, that Star
Saturday
Trek.
Night Live thing.
Yeah. And, like, and I mean, I've seen evidence to kind of support that here and there back and then, you know, because I've seen interviews where he's not been the friendliest of people or whatever, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, I, for a man who's damn near 90, like, he was up walking around on stage, like, he stood there for 2 hours, walked back and forth, answered everybody's questions.
He was,
like,
kind.
Super kind.
Warm.
Super gracious. Like
friendly.
Like, I mean,
funny.
Seriously.
Maybe it wasn't really him.
It probably wasn't.
He didn't was like seem, robot. And he didn't seem arrogant.
No.
He didn't seem, like, he seemed more, he seemed so thankful.
Yeah, yeah. And he kind of talked about that, the movie that he'd recently made, the Captains. And he said that kind of changed his point of view on things. He could kind of appreciate it from a different point of view. But
it seemed like his stigma was gone.
Yeah.
Like his sort of...
The whole thing that...
He'd gotten past that.
The whole thing that Nimoy's caught up on, like the hating being Mr. Spock, that he's never going to escape Mr. Spock. I don't think... Yeah. I don't think Kurt... I don't know that Shatner ever went through that. But if he did, he's pretty well over it now from what I can tell. Because, I mean, he seemed to be having a great time.
Well, he has transcended that, though. I mean, he's become a character himself, whereas Leonard Nimoy maybe not so much.
Yeah.
He sort of embodied his Shatner-ness.
Well, I think he accepted that, and he, like, embraced it wholeheartedly, as opposed to Nimoy. He's just like, no, I don't want to do anything with that, you know? Which kind of surprised me that he came back in the new movie. But then again, there was probably a very large paycheck involved.
A paycheck.
Yes.
Monies.
Quite. That was one of the
Vulcan doubloons.
That was one of the key the key points of every speaker that they had.
Yeah,
that,
they're like, "Why are you doing?
What did you? Why did you do? What got you into Star Trek?
Money.
The money.
Well,
the
I got a job. Yeah. I got paid.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that there was any of them that were really.
We should talk about Ethan Phillips.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the horribly awkward, tragic outburst that he was not aware of, but we were very aware of. So he's really funny. Dude.
Yeah, he was all about being, you know,
making gags,
funny
and
gags
stuff,
and jokes,
and there was
making fun of the crowd.
On that day, there was a little kid that all of the guests sort of played off of, like, because he was like, he would sort of yell out stuff.
Yeah, like a 3-year-old boy who would like just yell out like coherent sentences and shit.
Yeah,
and, like, people were like, what the fuck?
And so he starts yelling at Ethan Phillips, and Ethan Phillips kind of banters with the
he
kid for a,
back
while.
And forth a while,
and then the kid said something else. Ethan Phillips like, all right, shut up.
All right, shut that kid up. I'm done with you.
Well, later on, so previous to Ethan Phillips, we had been sitting at one part of the theater, and there was a family behind us, and one of their kids was mentally handicapped and was sort of having little outbursts.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
And so we were kind of like, it was
about to have one right now.
Yeah.
Burst
like you
out.
Do. Like you do.
Yeah.
So when Ethan Phillips is on, we're in a different part of the theater now.
We had moved to. I think we'd gone out to the.
Well, yeah. In between stuff, you go out and you look at stuff. So we didn't have assigned seats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As non gold or preferred ticket holders, we were just kind of floating.
Yeah, to get what seat was open. So we're on a different part of the theater, and Ethan Phillips is going on, and this kid from previously has an outburst. Pretty vocally, and he says, I mean it, shut that kid up.
Shut that damn kid
and
up.
And, like, I think the whole audience realized.
I don't know, there was a lot of laughter.
There was some laughter, but there was also definitely a intake of, like, oh my god, he doesn't realize that this kid.
He totally didn't get it. I mean, because, like
had
I said, I was up on the stage for the day of the yes no trivia.
There's
contest.
No way he could have
right,
known.
Right.
I mean, I was trying to find Drew the entire time,
but
I'm
was
like, it's kind of him. But, like, it was really, like, because, I mean, it was, I don't know, it was bad.
So
I'm not sure he didn't even realize.
No,
I'm sure nobody
there's
even
no
fucking told him.
Know.
Like, he would never even know about it.
Yeah.
But it was weird.
Yeah.
There was also a costume contest.
Mm-hmm.
Really great Gorn costume.
Which I think they railroaded that Gorn.
I agree with you.
Because I think that motherfucker definitely got the most applause.
So the sort of final three mm-hmm. of the costume contest, there was a woman dressed as Guinan.
There was four.
Was there a fourth?
No, because Wesley, remember the Wesley?
I think he got way, she it's got not way even too talking much.
About yeah, Credence, yeah.
She looks stupid. There was a Guinan.
Yeah.
A woman dressed as Guinan.
There was a Kirk and a Gorn. Mm-hmm.
And then there was an Andorian.
Yeah, the Andorian looked fucking awesome.
I did not like his antics. I was kidding. He got too full of himself.
I do not stand for these antics.
You gotta give it to the guy. He had the best fucking outfit there besides the Gorn.
He had a great outfit, but he got full of himself. Suddenly,
but here, let me pose this question to you.
Absolute power.
If you had the second best or the first best costume at the con, and all the girls at the con were looking at you, wouldn't you get the big head
all
too?
All the girls at the
I
con.
Would try to remain
all them girls at that con, baby.
I would try to remain distinguished and sophisticated. I would not be hamming it up.
Mm-hmm. Dude, whatever.
I would not be giving bunny ears to the Gorn.
No, I thought that was funny.
Anyway,
but no,
it came down to the Gorn and Kirk and Dorian. And Guinan. Gorn and Kirk were a team.
Yeah.
And they did it by applause. They determined who won by applause.
Because there was that other Klingon chick who was one of the finalists and they knocked her out too.
Yeah. Literally, they punched her out.
Yeah. Zap!
So he goes hand over Guinan, healthy applause.
It was a good applause.
Hand over Gorn. Raucous. It was insane. Screams and yells.
Actually, they were after
people gnashing them teeth.
Yeah.
Anger and spitting and vomiting, and people were going crazy.
It was nuts.
Hand over the Andorian. Excited applause.
It was really
good.
Lots
of applause. But I do not think
but not
it was
chaos.
Nearly
I think,
as
no.
much.
Pandemonium.
I think that they,
nearly as much.
I think that they picked that kid because they picked that
he
kid.
He was hamming it up.
Well, uh-huh. that, and I mean, really, okay, yeah, the
that
Gorn.
Gorn deserved it.
He did a lot of work on that costume because it was all
they
handmade.
They had a whole shtick.
Yeah.
They, did a whole fight scene.
But, yeah.
The Kirk was, you didn't even need him.
Yeah, he didn't really even need that
That
guy.
Dude was hanging
Maybe the
on
Kirk
the
dragged
Gorns.
Him down.
Yeah,
he had to have that Kirk
you
because
so?
He couldn't fucking get around. The guy couldn't
That's
see.
That's right, he couldn't see.
Literally
he clearly
see shit
couldn't
like,
see.
He was like.
It was pretty great.
But,
he was
I mean,
tall.
Yeah. Well,
it's like 7 feet tall.
I think the suit.
He's on some sort of stilts.
The
yeah.
foam. The
some
had,
sort
like,
of
foam
foot
feet
thing.
Too.
But it was
like, he was
really,
walking
but still,
like Big Bird too.
It was really tall.
Yeah. He was a big guy.
Imposing.
The suit was tall. Imposing. I don't think that the guy inside was as big as it looked.
But the Andorian kid won.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think as far as work put into the costume, okay, maybe the Gorn won. But as far as he just put on his costume. The Andorian kid was probably up at 5 o'clock in the morning putting his blue makeup on. He made his antenna the night before.
Well,
he had a costume that looked, it was a slick
I'm not
going to
say, he looked good.
Yeah.
He had a people
His uniform was
him,
tight.
But the
Gorn, he had one of the best uniforms.
The only thing that Gorn guy didn't make was the mask.
Yeah, he modded
the rest
mask.
Of that was all handmade.
Well, so they say.
It was like...
It was, yeah, it was definitely handmade. But, yeah,
so
I mean...
So they say.
Could have bought it somewhere, but
the worst costume entries were the furries.
Yes, we did have furries at the fucking Star Trek con.
Now,
they're everywhere.
Let's remain open-minded.
Let's not.
Furries are people?
No.
I mean, they wouldn't say that they are.
No, I don't think that they're people.
But you know what? They have a subculture. They have their thing.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
But there are no furries in Star Trek.
Okay. So
why do you mix it?
The thing was, they came up and asked them, each person, they were like,
but
okay,
that's
who's
how they're
your character?
Differentiate themselves, right?
Well, the thing
it's
is...
their own little niche.
I could have respected, say that they were they created their own race. This is they're in their Star Trek role-playing group from 5 years ago. These are their characters that they fully fleshed out.
Uh-huh.
I could have respected that. Instead, when they came up in the costume contest, they're like, okay, who's your character? What are they doing? And they're like... Kitty cat shit. Meow. She's my little. That's the best they could come up with. They were literally just furries with next gen or DS9 uniforms on. That's pretty much
all. It bugged the hell out of me.
It just really creeped us out because everybody that was And whenever they would walk down the hallways, like, everybody wanted to stop them and take their pictures of them. Yeah. So anybody that's got pictures of people from Star Trek from that weekend has got a picture of those fucking
the furries.
I've got some photos. I mean, from far away.
It's disturbing, though. Because, like, I don't want to get painted with a picture of the rest of the furries. You know?
Two of the best costumes were on Sunday and that were not in the costume contest. Oh, those women, again, in the Shatner line, across from us, across in the room, there were two women probably in their... What, 60s?
Nah,
like 70s?
I'd say 50s. No, really? No. You didn't see them that close. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they weren't that old. Huh. They were maybe late 50s, 60s.
But they were old. Not, maybe. I don't mean they were old.
They were fucking old.
they seemed, it was surprising how into it they were.
They wanted a beehive, like a serious beehive.
Oh, wow.
Now, the other one was the Uhura hair. The other one looked, the one was dressed exactly like, basically a tanned Uhura. If Uhura was a white woman who was extremely tanned. Mm-hmm. The George Hamilton of Uhuras.
They had excellent costumes.
But yeah, I mean, she had the whole
high
earpiece.
High quality.
And I mean, but yeah. The
looked authentic.
They were great. Like,
They were like jazzed to be there, man. They could not wait to meet Shatner. Who can blame them? But like, it was just cool because they exuded this enthusiasm that I think everybody picked up on.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool to see that kind of excitement. You know, from they must have been waiting.
Oh, I'm sure they're original fans.
To meet Shatner. I think they said in line, you know, that they
40 years or whatever.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that they had dedicated their entire life to coming to this Nashville convention. Yeah. They had predestined that there would be a convention in Nashville in July of 2011, and that they would come and meet William Shatner.
Yep. Yeah.
And somehow they came true.
It came true.
Kind of like
true.
You guys, right?
Came yeah. True. We've been on a trajectory to be in Nashville.
Right. All roads lead to Opryland or whatever.
Yeah, you got up on stage.
Yeah.
There was a trivia.
Very briefly.
Yes, no.
I was spoiled by my lack of Enterprise
knowledge. Yeah. There was a yes, no Star Trek trivia contest. So this is essentially, you had a piece of paper that said yes and one that said no. The guy would make a statement related to Star Trek and you would either say yes, that is true, or no, it is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up your paper.
Yeah,
you got the first question right.
Yeah, I got the first two or three. There was the third or fourth one that got caught.
And they asked an Enterprise, and it was a trick question too. Yeah. Even I've watched all of Enterprise, and I got it wrong too.
They asked whether because he has the beagle on the show, and they asked he named it after.
Well, and it framed it in such like it was like Captain Archer had a beagle named Athos, and like you think of saying, oh yeah, he did have a beagle, but it was the name was off.
Yeah, it was Pathos. Athos. Porthos. Yeah, Porthos.
Porthos. Good dog. Pathos. The pathos of
the show was the pathos of my existence.
But you got up on stage, and I have a photo of you up there. And the guy next to you is making a really weird pose.
Good.
I'll show it. Did I not show it to you?
I don't think so.
I'll show it to you later.
Nah.
It's weird. I don't know what
you have on stage.
Yeah, I got a few of you up there, but it's just like
it was weird, like to be up on that stage because I mean, especially with the lights on, because they had I don't remember did they have the lights on or off when
no,
I was up there?
I mean, you were they were.
No, I mean the stage lights were on, but like the backlighting and like
they
weren't
all the way off.
They were somewhat dimmed, yeah. But I mean, even being dimmed, like I couldn't see anything. Like I'd have a hard time imagining what those guys are just up there. Like it was really bright. I mean, you saw most of those guys walking around like this, with their, trying to find people to ask questions from. That's why they had the microphones that nobody fucking queued up to.
Oh god,
that was just a thorn in my side.
They lined up for Shatner though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they lined up like
they
everybody
ran
does.
Up there.
Yeah,
no way they get through all that.
Yeah. I wish there would have been another, at least three or four tech war questions. Because there was only one guy mentioned tech war, and that was it.
And he was like, I love the tech wars.
I love you.
I think he actually said, I don't think you get enough credit for your tech war knowledge.
Yeah, something like that, to that effect. Because he also, he mentioned the Avenger, like the Shatner, the novels that Shatner wrote, after Generations, when they kill off his character. Shatner decided they didn't actually kill off Kirk, so he wrote a couple more books. But, I mean, you gotta love the man for the hubris, but... they mentioned those, and I was just like, wow. Yeah. But I think Shatner was probably the highlight of the convention. Like,
it was just so surprising.
It was disarming, is like how friendly and just like genial
he
was.
Oh, and we got our photos with him. He looked me straight in the eye when I said thank you.
Yeah.
Direct eye contact. I was mesmerized.
Like
right
now,
I'm looking into eye contact with Shatner. I'm like 2 degrees
from
Shatner's eyes right now.
And I'd imagine this is probably one of the smaller conventions he's probably been to in a long time.
Totally. Yeah, I think he probably sticks to the biggest ones.
I think the reason why he came here, because he's got, I mean, he's got a big ranch down in Kentucky, so it was really close to him.
So he was, and he even said he was going there after the convention.
Yeah, they had a horse show, I think, to compete in.
They're riding horses.
They ride them horses.
They're riding their horses.
Look at that. Kirk's still a cowboy. Thank you. Okay.
Once a cowboy, always a cowboy.
Always a cowboy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not. If anybody does the Kid Rock, I'm watching.
I won't do
it. What Kid Rock?
Any
song.
Okay.
Don't cowboy song.
Okay.
Let's not do it.
He has a song about Star Trek?
Shut up.
Let's play it in the show.
Shut it up.
Will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show.